3FM on digital radio and online. It's now 1 o'clock. Time for the news read by Vaughan Savage.
AIDS campaigners have welcomed an apparent relaxation of the Roman Catholic Church's ban on contraceptives. In interviews with a German journalist, Pope Benedict said in exceptional circumstances, condoms could be justified. He highlighted the use of condoms by male prostitutes to help stop the spread of AIDS. One group of dissident Roman Catholics called it a marvellous victory for common sense. Ireland's Europe Minister Dick Roach has acknowledged that bad mistakes were made with the country's economy and there had been absolute criminality in the Irish banking system. Mr. Roach was speaking on his way into a cabinet meeting, which is expected to approve measures to cut Ireland's deficit, including drastic spending cuts and tax rises. Rescue workers at a coal mine in New Zealand, when 29 men are trapped, are working through the night to monitor the levels of toxic gases. Teams are ready to enter the mine, but police say there's still a risk that the gases could produce another explosion. A Church of England bishop has predicted that Prince William's marriage to Kate Middleton would last for only 7 years. Peter Broadbent, the Bishop of Willesden, posted the comment on his Facebook page, where he also described the royal family as philanderers who cost an arm and a leg. The Education Secretary Michael Gove has defended plans to scrap ring-fenced funding for sport in schools in England. Critics have said it would damage after-school clubs and reduce the number of PE teachers. But Mr. Gove said it was important to give head teachers the power to decide their school's priorities and predicted that sporting activities wouldn't decrease. The government has welcomed Labour's announcement that it would support halving the time that terrorist suspects can be held without charge to 14 days. The Shadow Home Secretary, Ed Ball, said that in setting the current 28-day limit, his party got the balance wrong between tackling terrorism and protecting civil liberties. The weather this afternoon, it will stay mostly cloudy with showery rain on the east coast of Scotland and northeast England. The BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
And it was read by Vaughan Savage. You're listening to BBC Radio 3 and time now to join Catherine Bott for the Early Music Show, which today celebrates music composed by Johann Sebastian Bach's eldest son, beginning with this chorus from one of his cantatas.
that sounds rather like a Bach cantata, it is. The opening chorus from Erzittert und Fallet, O Tremble, Fall Down Now, by Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, performed by the Gechinger Kantorei Stuttgart and the Bach Collegium Stuttgart, conducted by Helmut Rilling. Wilhelm Friedemann Bach probably wrote that cantata sometime in the early 1750s. We're celebrating his talents in today's early music show because it's almost 300 years to the day since he was born, on the 22nd of November, 1710. Sadly, though, there's not too much else to celebrate about his 74 years on earth, despite the most promising of starts. Wilhelm Friedemann was the second child, eldest son, and favourite of his father, Johann Sebastian Bach. From an early age, it was obvious that he was a true musical chip off the Bachian block, and his fond papa did everything he could to foster the boy's talents. Wilhelm Friedemann developed into a renowned keyboard player and composer, but as is sometimes the case with a gifted and favoured child of a demanding father, he didn't ever really grow into a responsible adult. His artistic brilliance was matched by an instability of character which saw him rise to the top of his profession and then plummet after Johann Sebastian's death to a hand-to-mouth existence, selling his father's manuscripts one by one. His contrarian behaviour must have mystified his contemporaries and distressed his family. It's now reckoned that he may have been bipolar, but in his lifetime there was no psychiatric profession to help him. Wilhelm Friedemann Bach was born in Weimar, where his father was employed as organist and chamber musician to the Duke of Saxe-Weimar. Bach Sr. had great hopes for his eldest son. He wrote the first book of the Well-Tempered Clavier with him in mind and took great care to plan his musical education with a graded course of keyboard studies. Here's a delicate little piece from that Klavierbüchlein for Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, the Allemande in G minor, BWV 836, which seems to have been a collaborative effort by father and son. It's played on the piano by Wolfgang Rübsam.
Thank you.
Wolfgang Rübsam with a keyboard allemande by Johann Sebastian Bach with help from his son Wilhelm Friedemann. When Bach Sr. took the post of cantor of St. Thomas's Church in Leipzig in 1723, he had a very sound reason for doing so: more sons to educate. Wilhelm Friedemann's mother, Maria Barbara, had died suddenly in 1720 when the boy was 10, and Bach, who had lost his own mother at the same age, had married again. Wilhelm Friedemann was sent to the Thomasschule, where his musical education continued with violin lessons from Johann Gottlieb Graun. It's clear that his interests ranged widely beyond music. After his school days, he enrolled as a law student at Leipzig University, and he studied mathematics in his spare time. His first musical job came in 1733, when he was appointed organist of St. Sophia's Church in Dresden. His audition piece was a new version of his father's Prelude and Fugue in G major, BWV 541, and the adjudicator described him as clearly superior to the other two candidates. This was a prestigious post, but not a demanding one. Wilhelm Friedemann spent a lot of time with the court musicians, especially after his father was appointed as Royal Polish and Electoral Saxon court composer, and the results of this first creative period in his composing life include his few surviving chamber works. Here's a movement from his sonata in F major, one of two sonatas for transverse flute and basso continuo, which were discovered accidentally only a few years ago. Thank you. The third movement from Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's Sonata in F Major, played by members of Kammerata Köln, flautist Karl Kaiser, cellist Rainer Zipperling and lutenist Yasunori Imamura. And that recording from 2005 was the first time some of Wilhelm Friedemann's long-lost chamber works had been committed to disc. In 1746, after 13 years in Dresden, he became organist of the Liebfrauenkirche in Halle, where he had far more responsibilities than in Dresden. And he doesn't seem to have coped very well. He fell foul of the church's cantor, Gottfried Mittag, who had a handy knack of earmarking other people's allocated funding for his own use. The real blow, from which Wilhelm Friedemann never recovered, though, was the death of Johann Sebastian Bach in 1750. Bach had watched over his brilliant, troubled son throughout his life. But how helpful had that been? Karl Geiringer's book, The Bach Family, states plainly that we cannot help seeing in the great love and support which Sebastian unstintingly offered to his eldest son a fatal gift. It atrophied Friedemann's initiative and also reduced his artistic independence. He was lost without his father. 6 months later, he married Dorothea Elisabeth Georgi, daughter of a tax collector, who bore him three children, only one of whom, Friederike Sophia, survived infancy. But marriage did nothing to help soothe his restless spirit, and he never seemed to see the point of collaborating with his superiors. When he went back to Leipzig to settle his father's estate, a perfectly legitimate absence, he ended up being reprimanded by the authorities for outstaying his leave. And his discontent continued. In 1753 he made the first of several unsuccessful attempts to find another job. But so far the music was still flowing, albeit slower, from his pen. This next piece was written as an introduction to a cantata composed in 1758 for Frederick the Great's birthday. It's reminiscent of a prelude and fugue, and the prominence of the two flutes was designed to please the flute-playing king.
Thank you.
The Sinfonia in D minor, F65, by Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, played by harpsichordist Guy Ponson, flautists Patrick Beukels and Daniel Etienne, with Adrien Chamorro directing the Richegard Consort. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, investigating the troubled life of Bach's eldest son, Wilhelm Friedemann. In 1762, he made a bid for the post of Kapellmeister to the court of Darmstadt. He was given a slightly different job, that of Hofkapellmeister of Hessen-Darmstadt, a title he used in the dedication of his harpsichord concerto in E minor. This is the third movement, with soloist Raphael Alpermann. The soloist in that movement from Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's Harpsichord Concerto in E minor was Raphael Alpermann with the Akademie für Alte Musik Berlin. In June 1764, Wilhelm Friedemann abruptly resigned from his job in Halle, and for the remaining 20 years of his life, according to Grove's dictionary, was aimless and without settled employment, embittered, indolent, ungracious even to his friends, self-centred and somewhat eccentric. He did some teaching here and there, but was eventually forced in 1774 to move to Berlin, where he was initially funded by Frederick the Great's sister, Princess Anna Amalia, to whom he dedicated his 8 fugues. The 6th of Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's 8 fugues, played by Christoph Rousset. Wilhelm Friedemann was famous throughout Germany as a keyboard composer, player and improviser, a worthy heir to his brilliant father. But of all Bach's composer sons, he was the least pioneering, and anyway, as his life wore on, he found it harder and harder to complete commissions, and impossible to appease wealthy patrons with the obsequiousness that went with the job of composer. His income, such as it was, came from teaching and occasional organ recitals. Among his students was Johann Sebastian's future biographer, Johann Nikolaus Forkel, who wrote that, "Listening to Wilhelm Friedemann playing the piano was a delicate, graceful, pleasant event. But listening to him playing the organ, a great shudder would overcome me, on the one hand all things sweet, and on the other hand all things large and solemn."
Thank you.
Wolfgang Baumgratz playing a fugue by Wilhelm Friedemann Bach on the Holzhai organ of the Church of the Benedictine Abbey, Neresheim. Wilhelm Friedemann died in poverty in Berlin in 1784, and he spent a couple of hundred years with a fairly condemnatory label round his neck, that of being a poor custodian of his father's manuscripts. Well, it's possible that this accusation is not entirely fair. He certainly did sell them piecemeal to raise money, but his daughter, Friederike Sophia, emigrated to America, taking Bach manuscripts with her, which were inadvertently destroyed by her descendants in Oklahoma. And all unknowingly, he did the right thing by one of the most essential pieces of music written in the last millennium, when he passed on the manuscript of the St. Matthew Passion to his pupil Sarah Levy, whose great-nephew Mendelssohn loved the work with a passion and precipitated its rediscovery for future generations. Wilhelm Friedemann's younger brother, Carl Philipp Emanuel, became the Hamburg Bach, and his half-brother, Johann Christian, the London Bach. Wilhelm Friedemann himself is, sadly, the difficult Bach. But I have a feeling that he could have outplayed any of his siblings when he was seated at a keyboard. So let's end today's programme with a work formerly attributed to CPE, but now acknowledged as bearing all the marks of WF style. The concerto in F minor, played by harpsichordist Guy Ponson, with the Richard Consort, directed by Adrien Chamorro. Thank you.
Wilhelm Friedemann, Bach's Concerto in F Minor, performed by harpsichordist Guy Penson, with the Rich Car Consort, directed by Adrien Chamorreau. And that ends today's Early Music Show. It was presented by Catherine Bott and produced in Manchester by Jenny Pitt. In next weekend's Early Music Shows, Lucy Skeeping will be delving into the music and history surrounding Handel's Alcina and exploring the life and music of Giovanni Legrenzi. That's next Saturday and Sunday at just after 1 o'clock. As for this evening,
BBC Radio 3's Sunday feature explores Mahler's one and only meeting with another great Viennese master. With his marriage in tatters, Mahler took a four-hour walk with the celebrated psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. For Radio 3, David Matthews and Anthony Cantle retrace that walk in the Dutch town of Leiden, and as composer and psychoanalyst, they bring their own professional and personal insights to the story.
It's really wonderful to be here, to have the opportunity, also to be in a place where, for each of us, for Mahler and Freud, in our different views and ways about it in relation to both, where they were 100 years ago.
Walking with Freud, Radio 3's Sunday feature, starting at 9:30.
It's 3 minutes past two, and now on Radio 3, here's Chichi Nwanaku with another batch of your Radio 3 requests.
Hello. We're getting nearer to that tinsely time of year, and David Wiltshire sent me an email for any track from the wonderful CD by the Rudolphus Choir called By Special Arrangement. It gives me the perfect opportunity to play you this. Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, arranged by Leo Hussein, sung by the Rudolphus Choir and directed by Ben Parry. And as our requester David Wiltshire pointed out, there are outstanding choral arrangements on the whole of the CD called By Special Arrangement. Thank you. Now, here's a suggestion from Andrew Breslin, who says, Sunday afternoon needs music of shorter length to allow you to drop in and out, for example, between surf sessions or garden work. He suggests early music, chamber music, more Corelli et al., and thinks it's probably too early in the day to concentrate on moderns. Well, Andrew, I hope I've caught you at the right time between activities this afternoon and that this will tick a few of your boxes.